You have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. We're going to conclude our message on Jonah. As I was preparing this message, just a question came into my mind. Have you ever noticed how the little things in your life can either make you very happy or can make you very grumpy and mad? Think about that now for a minute. You know, I've driven to Costco a few times, and you know, there have been times when I look for that parking place and I just can't find it. But there's that one time I drive there, and lo and behold, there's a spot right there up front. And I drive right there, someone has just moved out, and there I am. And I am elated, I'm excited, I think, oh, the Lord is smiling on me today. Isn't that wonderful? So I load up, you know, and get everything all taken care of, and I'm putting stuff in my car afterwards. I'm just about ready to leave, and I notice the front left tire is flat. And all of a sudden, all the joy is gone. But you notice how you kind of go up and you go down, and oftentimes our life is like that. You know, we're excited about some things, and little things happen, and then we're down in the dumps, and then we're just grumpy. That should cause us to stop and ask ourselves, what's really important in our lives? What do we really focus on that we look at and say that this gives me joy and this really deflates me? Well, I think there's a good illustration of what can happen in this life of Jonah. As we conclude, remember now, Jonah, he was this reluctant prophet of God. He was sent for a mission, a ministry. He was to go to Nineveh and preach the fact that Nineveh was going to be destroyed in 40 days. And he hesitated. In fact, he flinched. He went the other direction. And then God sent a storm, and he was thrown into the water. And then God sent a fish, and that fish, you know, took him in for hosted him for 3 days. And then he finally got back on track again and made his big announcement to the city, and they repented. The good news was made known. I should say the bad news became good news. They repented. But now, remember, Jonah's response to all of this, chapter 4, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I had said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate. I knew that you were slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And now, oh Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out, sat at the place at the east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah and gave shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at the dawn of the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wanted to die. And he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said to him, "You are concerned about this vine. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight. It died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" And the story ends. Now you see how little things can make Jonah very, very happy, and little things make him very, very angry. And God comes back and he says, "Wait a minute, what are you really concerned about? What is it that gives real joy to your life? Do you have the right perspective?" And isn't it interesting how God can use a little thing, a symbol? I mean, literally this vine becomes a symbol to Jonah of what God wants to say to him. And when I think about God speaking through Jonah to us, I'm ashamed to say there's so much of Jonah in me. And I'm sure there's a lot of Jonah in you as well. It's so easy for us to hear the call of God and know that God's call for us also is to share to a dying world good news and bad news. You know, just to give you a little synopsis of what that is, remember John 3:16? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And then verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God's one and only Son." And then verse 36 says in John 3, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." You know, that's the news that we should be sharing with people around us. And yet so often, we are like Jonah, we're the reluctant. We're the reluctant Christians. We want to go our own way and say, you know something, I've got time for this. Or, you know, I've got other priorities or whatever it is. I want to do my own thing. And it amazes me how God will also do the same thing with us. There are times when he will want to draw us to change our direction. Say, listen, you're going in the wrong direction. And then we flee from the presence of God. And God is saying, I'm inviting you to come into my presence. And sometimes he will cause things to happen in our lives like Jonah in the whale. We got no other place to turn than to turn to the Lord, coming into his presence. And then, you see, God can change our direction. He can even change our heart. But we still have to change our mind. We still have to change our mind. Because he still had a wrong attitude about people. And so now God comes back and he does some more. He takes this vine, this plant, this gourd, and he uses this as a symbol to say to him, now listen, Jonah, you know, let's come to grips with what's really important in life. Now I hope that as you look at this whole lesson here, that you can learn some of the lessons of God's grace. Because you see, God will use symbols. For Jonah, it was a vine. I think for us, we have a communion table to remind us some things about God's grace. I think, first of all, God reminds us around from that plant and also from around the Lord's table, the wonder of God's patience. Think about it. God's patience with a guy like Jonah and with people like us. You know, never forget that. It isn't just Jonah, it's us. So here's Jonah. You think patience. Listen to what God says to him. Jonah was greatly displeased. He became angry and he prayed, oh Lord, forget this whole thing. And then verse 4, God says to him, have you any right to be angry? You talk about patience. I mean, really, God could have come on really strong and condemned him and said, what is with you, fella? You know, after all what I've done for you, and bang, 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 bang. I mean, he could have just wiped him out verbally or wiped him out physically. I mean, and he had every right to do so. No, God didn't condemn him. But nor did he condone it. He didn't say, oh, poor Jonah, you have a right. You have a lot of hostility within you. And come on, let's let that anger come out now. This is okay, you know. Good psychiatric, you know, responses. No, God came back with a caring response. He basically saying, Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? Think about what you're doing. Think about what's going on. Think about what has happened in your life. Think about the way I treated you. Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? The patience of God. As I come around, as we come around this morning around the communion table, I hope the lesson of God's grace is there for you as well. You know, we cannot be transmitters of God's grace until we also appreciate that grace and see how God has worked in our lives. Jesus says to us, do this in remembrance of me. And I hope you remember the love and the patience of God. You know, for us to remember how we went astray, for us to remember what we did and some of the, you know, stupid sins and things that we've done in our lives. You know, and that God graciously and patiently has worked with us, changing our directions, allowing experience to come into our lives to call us back to himself so we'll come back into his presence and not just going in the opposite direction. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. Remember that God looked beyond your sin and he saw your need and he sent me to die on the cross for you. Remember the patience of God. I think when that begins to come in, then we begin to go to the next lesson. And I think there's another lesson here as well, and that is, first of all, discover God's patience, then secondly, delight in God's preparations. Or maybe a little bit better, to delight at life from God's perspective. Again, I look at Jonah and I think, my goodness, this man, what he went through, you know? But notice something. Each time when things happened to Jonah, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. And you'll notice here in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Jonah ran away from the presence of God. Then verse 4, it says, and the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. He sent it. He provided. He prepared a wind. And a little later, you find in chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Once again, God prepared, God made available, God provided. And now we get into chapter 4, and notice three times that word is used. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. It says, God provided a vine. Verse 7, God provided a worm. And verse 8, God provided a scorching heat. Now, what I'm trying to say by this is sometimes we need to look at life from God's perspective. And each time when we go in different directions or whatever goes on in our lives, God provides. Sometimes God provides experiences in our lives to help us change direction because we're going in the wrong direction. God wants us to honor Him, to glorify Him. God wants us involved with Him in His ministry, sharing His good news with people. And yet sometimes we don't see that, you know? And God will allow experiences to come up. Experiences to come into our lives to help us to see that. And there are those times, as I said before, we walk away from His presence. We're not involved in our devotional life. We don't spend time with the Lord. And then comes those crisis times when all of a sudden we got no place to turn. Where do we go? And literally cry out to God, say, God, where are you? And sometimes God says, oh, it's about time. You know, I've been there all the time, but you wouldn't acknowledge me. Let's have a relationship together. You've forgotten about me. And then, of course, there are times when God wants to change our mind. You know, I come around the Lord's table again, but I think of that. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you realize in Psalm 23, I think it's verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Think about this. God prepares even a table. And why does he provide that table? To remind me as I go through the storms of life, my difficulties and my crisis moments of life. God is saying, remember, I want you going in the right direction. I want to have a relationship with you. And I want you to change your mind about some things, the way you look at life and living and so forth. I love you. I accept you. I want a relationship with you. I want you walking in the direction of my plan and my purpose. The wonder of God's grace. I hope you look at your circumstances in life and not just get angry and frustrated and say, oh, I just want to die, like Jonah, but be able to look back and say, God, what have you got in store for me here? What's going on? Let the table, let the bread and the juice remind you again, God is there. He's a part of your life. And I think the last part, I just love this. As Jonah is grumbling and complaining and the whole thing, God comes to him in his last couple of verses. And you know, Jonah says, or God says, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? Jonah says, I do. I do have a right to be, and I'm angry. And then comes the final lesson. You know, God's grace tells us so much about God's patience. It tells us so much about God's provisions. We have a different perspective, but it also tells us we need to have different priorities. Jonah comes back and he says, you know, I am angry. God says, you're concerned about some little vine. I'm concerned about people. Your high and low moments are about little things in your life. my high and low moments come when I see people coming to know me as their Savior and the Lord of their lives. That's what gets me excited. And I think sometimes as we come around the Lord's table, I hope that the communion will also remind us what's really important. What are the priorities of life? You know, we can sit here and we're all worried about the stock market and the IRAs, and we're all worried about our houses and our homes, and we're worried about dogs barking next door, or we're worried about finding a parking spot at Costco or something. You know, these are the big important things of our lives, and God is saying, hey, listen, you know, fine, so those things are important to you, but I got news for you. I hope you don't live in your community and in this city, in this world, and you're not concerned about people in Africa, about people in Papua New Guinea. I hope you're not just here and have no concern about people coming to know Christ. And beautiful thing in the ministry of the Gideons, how they're placing Bibles in a variety of hotels, motels, so people have an opportunity to hear. Does that create a passion within us? You see, people matter to God. Therefore, they must matter to us. And the communion table reminds us of how much people matter to God. And this morning, as you and I take the communion, I hope that you'll be able to see yourself in Jonah. Sometimes we are just ungrateful. We are graceless creatures. We've been graced, but we don't give grace. But my prayer is that as we come around the table and see God's grace, that we know we are blessed than to be a blessing. May the communion speak to you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we share these moments together, we just realize that your grace just shouts at us. And yet, Lord, how often we just take it so for granted. Father, forgive us. And our prayer this morning, Lord, is that as the symbols of the bread and the juice were given to us, and Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, that we too will remember you. Remember your grace, your patience, your love, your forgiveness. That we also then see life from your perspective. And that, Lord, we begin to establish the priorities of what's really important, because, Lord, you found it so important to send your Son into the world that we might be forgiven, that we might have life. Lord, that's a message the world has to hear. Place it on our hearts as well. Thank you, Father. Speak to each of us now, we pray in Jesus' name.